writes and he speaks. Although kol elohim ka'ainu ke'efes, however, all that you see from him publicly is like nothing. Lumas mashu problem mistarim compared to what he's being poel when you don't see him, and mistarim when he's hidden. Betzim havi yoso, his very existence and who he is, and what he's doing by who he is, and what's changing in other Jews because of who he is. Achdus, Rav Kook writes in Arpalei Torah, Achdus ha-neshamas, and this is why, obviously, the impact upon other Jews is infinitely more powerful than on the rest of the world, because of the Achdus ha-neshamas, because all Jewish souls are bound together, one to the other. So, when one neshama is shining, that light affects the other neshamas as well, because of Achdus HaNeshamas. So if Cook writes, Achdus HaNeshamas mevila de hakara, as a rayon shal mitzias of them ruchniyim, mis'alam bi'ilui pnimi, shalos avodosim have sharis lios mucheshes moikir ha'olam, kimes hashbosim ala ziku kanishmasi. Besides, Rav Kook says, in his own poetic way, besides the obvious effect that this person has, when he is openly teaching and going and speaking and so on and writing, but does the hashpa of zikuk hanishmasi, of that need that one Jewish soul has for another. Now, to be honest, this also happens in a negative way. In other words, when God forbid there's a Jew who is not doing well, it hurts other Jews. But remember, the rule in Ruchnius, it's a very important rule to remember always, that what? Mida toiva, it's kful mechupelas, so when it's something which is tov, it's infinitely greater. It's true that there's a negative ashpa, that a person who is doing something that's not right impacts the Jewish people negatively. But that's much, much, much less of an impact than anything good that a person does. Because Hashem made the world in such a way that good stuff goes around much faster and stronger than the bad stuff. That's how Hashem's Baruch made the world. That when it comes to good things, it's much, much stronger. And when it comes to things that are negative, Hashem made the world in a way where that darkness is held back. So we are handicapped by the averus of others to some degree. And our averus are harming others also. But in terms of the tov, the good is infinitely greater than the harm. That the tzaddik, not just the tzaddik, but an elohi, the God-fearing Jew, his very being, his very existence, has this effect. We always have known this secret. You know, I have these cynical people, like there's this guy that I knew, he used to always make a point to come over to me and to say, yeah, Tamir Chacham Ma'ab Mishalom Ba'olam, yeah. You know, he doesn't like that sentence from Davening. You know, Tamir Chacham Ma'ab, the Tamir Chacham increased peace in the world, and he's always excited about some machlokes that they're having, you know, in Satmar or somewhere, you know. So Tamir Chacham Ma'ab Mishalom, yeah, Mishalom. Of course, this person was Ma'ab Machlokes and Sinan and so on. Tamir Chacham Ar Ma'ab Mishalom Ba'olam. True Tamir Chacham Ma'ab Mishalom Ba'olam. But what Rav Kook is saying is that the Marbim, they're increasing the peace in the world, doesn't mean that the Talmud Chacham is necessarily in an observable way that you could see that he's going around like Aaron HaKohen making, you know, friends, with making people, you know, get along with each other, helping them become friends. Talmud Chacham be'etzem havi'osam, a Talmud Chacham who sits, is a God-fearing Jew, and he sits and he learns Torah, is Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. And it's not something which just is, a line. There's truth, great and deep truth to that. And there is tremendous truth to the fact that true Talmid Chacham is sitting and learning in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And even though it's, of course, a painful divide in itself between those who are going out physically to battle and those who are sitting in the yeshivas. And it's become also a point of great cynicism among secular Israelis, even among many religious Israelis, to say, yeah, the guys are sitting in the yeshiva. I would like my son to also sit in the yeshiva. In the meantime, I had two kids that were killed, and they're lying in Mount Herzl. And this guy sitting in the Bismedrish, they think that he's just, having a cup of coffee and going for an hour or two. Now, there are guys that are doing that, and they should be on the battlefield. I mean, we shouldn't need to have any conflict. But if there's a need, then those guys, of course, should be on the battlefield. But that doesn't mean that the true Talmid Chacham is sitting and learning, and I'm having shalom by the mamish. It's the most unbelievable. Even somebody who is so far, far away from Torah Mitzvahs, like Moshe Dayan, he was so strong in this Nakuda that the guys have to stay in Beis Medrash, that? He had an Indian like that. He believed in that. That the guys should be, that they need, we need to have the guys in the yeshivas. He believed in such an Indian. I don't know what else he believed in. That's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this Indian, he tried very hard. And there are other secular Israelis that are far from Mitzvahs, but they saw this as something which is very important. What creates, of course, the Machloikis is not the sincere guys that are learning. I believe that almost every secular Israeli, every Jew, appreciates Jews who learn Torah and believes that the Jews who are sitting in Beis Medrash are marbim shalom, are protecting and helping that there be more peace and to sell more peace in the world. The Chilul Hashem is when they see the guys that are not serious about learning and they're not going to the army. That's the unbelievable Chilul Hashem that's going on. It's unbelievable Chilul Hashem. When they see guys walking around, in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim at 11 o'clock in the morning with strollers and with groceries and Chavayis driving around and sitting on benches and their kids are in the army. It's a Chilul Hashem. Tremendous Chilul Hashem. But I think that as far as the guys who are sitting and learning, I don't believe that the Chilonim have it. I mean, there are people that are very extreme. Stam, Sonny HaTor, Sonny HaDas. There are people that hate Yiddishkeit, Hashem Yirachem. But I don't believe that the typical Chiloni, non-religious Israeli, has tainus against a Jew that loves to learn and is sitting and learning and is an Emes HaTalmud Chacham and spends his time in the yeshiva. Because the Talmid Chacham Amar M'Shalom Barlam, just by sitting and learning and davening and being a Jew that Shema Torah misses. And not only in Eretz Yisrael, we're helping that also. Marav Mishalom Ba'olam. Marav Mishalom Ba'olam. V'he'aros ha'chaim kulam ha'ida ha'viyosam ha'atzmis. Me'olam yidane razeh, godol tafkidim shal Talmid Chacham Ba'olam. The great role that Talmid Chacham play in the entire world, not just in their learning, but the Talmud Chacham, his existence has a tremendous effect upon the entire world. Shal tzaddikim ve'erkam, the great value of, especially of tzaddikim. Ayubin Yashbos, then he brings a number of Marmar Karmis, a couple lines down. Ubesefer Michteve Morom, just a couple lines down in the middle of the sentence. Ubesefer Michteve Morom, those are letters from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab, Zechat Sarav Gozlev Roch. Ubesefer Michteve Morom, Amud Samach Zayin Kosev, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab, Libno. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe writes to his son. His son was Ramechal Chalap. Ramechal Chalap ended up being a Rav in the Bronx for many years. He was here in America. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's son came to America. Maybe the grandson of Rabbi Zulman, he should live and be well. I just saw him the other day. He is a Rav in the Bronx. Maybe Ramechal was in New Jersey or someplace. Maybe I'm mixing up. Rabbi Zulman, the grandson, is for sure in the Bronx for many years, and he's been in YU for many years. But Ramechal Chalap was a Rav someplace, maybe in New Jersey. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe wrote in a letter to his son, Rak Moshel Kotten Emshel. I'm only writing to you a little Moshel. Vata bedaita chazaka betach tavineya. And you, with your clear mind, with your understanding, will know what this means. Mechoine gedoyla, you have a big machine. Mechazek is kamish shvokim, that this machine, say some kind of electric generator, is bringing light to many, many marketplaces or cities. I mean, this letter was written around 80 years ago. So, v'ulai gam ayos gedolos, maybe in big cities, are all lit up because of this machine, this generator. U'ba'achas ha'pinois b'zovis k'tana, oimeid ish echo d'shnaim ha'poischim es ha'motor v'soigim oso. And in one little tiny corner of this room where the generator is, there's a human being that's turning on the switch. One or two people that are turning on the switches. B'sheket u'b'shalva, very, very quiet. Nobody sees them. Oyvdim is ma'aseim, b'li kol shvak u'pirchus, they do what they're supposed to do without making any noise. V'shum odam bal yedem mehem, bal yodem mehem, and nobody knows who they are. Nobody sees them. And Rabbi Yaakov Meir says, "Dav havinei, understand this. What I'm telling you." And he was giving him chizik to do his avayda. And you shouldn't think that you're being inactive or you're not being helpful because you're spending this time of your life sitting in the Beis Medrash. You concentrate on what you're doing, and you're turning on lights. That's what you have to do. There's so many people, even people who are Shomer Shabbos, they think the guys are sitting, yeah, I would also like to sit on the, yeah, the, you know, sitting in the yeshiva, what are they doing over there? So, religious people that think that way. Maran Harav is at Salam Marshal. So now, when talking about Rav Kook, was Rav Kook at Tzadik Nister? Or was he a Tzadik Nigla? Rav Kook is the most unbelievable example of a Tzadik Nigla Venister. Tzadik Nigla Venister. And that's why his name was what? What was his name? Not Cook. What was his Jewish name? Avram Yitzchak was his name. Oh, wow. Cook. That was his name. Was Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen. Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Cook. Rabbi Avram Yitzchak. Avram Yitzchak. See, he had these two ways. Avram Avinu was his Tzadik Nigla, and Yitzchak was his Tzadik Nister. Rav Kook was himself such a person. Avram Yitzchak, and on top of everything, he was a Kohen. The Kedusha of a Kohen. Maran HaRav is at Salam Moshel. Paul ve'osa dvarim rabim. Rav Kook was accomplished unbelievable things. Just the amount of projects of things that he did in the and the impact that he had in a very obvious and open way. So dvarim rabim meshach kol shnois chayiv. All the years of his life, from the time that when he was a rav in Shtetlach in Russia, what he was doing over there, came in with the yeshiva and with the mikvahs and cheder and fixing up the whole place right away when he walked in. And then later on, of course, Yerushalayim, that's a cell. I will call Ela, but all of these unbelievable things that he accomplished, ma'heim, what are they? Le'umas hatav'era ruchanis andeira. Compared to the unbelievable spiritual fire, Shabara Bekirba that was burning inside of him. HaPerish Shalo Ala Siddur, his perish on the Siddur, that we have on the Siddur, Arla Shriya, Lohaya Perish Gwida, it wasn't just a perish on the Siddur. Elakach Haisa nearest Atvila Shalo. The perish that Rav Kook wrote on the Siddur, which we have here, and it was reprinted just 2 or 3 years ago. The parish that we have on the Siddur, it's not just a parish that he wrote on the Siddur, it's Rav Kook's davening. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap Siper, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, who is his closest student, says, Kibkai is Tof Resh Pe'alev. In the summer of 1921, Yotza HaRav L'Noifesh Lahar Tov. Rav Kook went out a little bit to vacation, to the mountains, Ubosi Levakre Sham, and I went to visit him there. Vim Shachnu beside Siach, and we were talking, Ad Shahu Mucheros Belaila, till it was late at night. So Yaakov Moshe is giving us this personal story that he went to visit Rav Kook, and when Rav Kook was away, and they were talking until late at night. Vinibaboke Hergashti Sharav Misacher Betvilosa. In the morning, I saw that Rav Kook was a little bit was late for davening. V'loy oid ela shlo kedarko, shlo lasa b'shum davar lefnei hatfila. The usual way of Rav Kook is that he didn't do anything before davening. He wouldn't do anything else before davening. But on that morning, ve'isi shul nigash el balach sanya, on that morning I saw that Rav Kook was talking to the balach sanya. Whatever, the guy that was managing, that owned the hotel or the house that he was staying in, the apartment. And that Rav Kook, before davening, was talking to the balabas over there about plants, and what kind of fruit trees could be planted in this area. And only after Rav Kook went to daven. Rav Yaakov Moshe says that Rav Kook being a little bit late to davening and then Bechlal talking about this stuff before davening, it was a wonder to me. There have the eyes benafshi, and I had the chutzpah lishol asarav lepeshadav. I went, I had the chutzpah and I asked Rav Kook, what was that? Shuvaso haisa, and Rav Kook told me that Baboyka zeh, that on that morning, hislata belibi tav eres tzimo en lekelchai, there was burning in my heart a thirst for the living God, ad shechashashti lekolus anefesh betfila, that I felt that if I would have gone at that moment to daven, I would have died. V'ne'elasti lahaktin es yikod rikshe hakodesh, I had to quiet down the flames of holiness, b'yirida samachshava, and to cause my mind to settle down, l'inyonim muchashim maisim, to talk about something practical that was part of this world, to talk about the garden or something like this. Now, if you were, I would say such a thing. It was just, get the davening on time. But this Rav Kook said to Rav Akamaisha such a thing, that he felt he was going to die. Sometimes you also feel like you're going to die by davening, yeah? But for different reasons. Ubespedo asarav, after the parenthesis, Ubespedo asarav, sipa harim chalap. But after Rav Kook died, and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was saying some hesped, was saying some things about his Rebbe, Ketzed Becharev Tofresh Ayin Dalet, in the winter of 1914, Kasher Hitztaref L'Nesiyoso El HaGolil, when he joined him on a trip to the Galil, Hisararti Be'emsa HaLayla, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, I woke up in the middle of the night, V'reisi es harav nisa b'sa'aras ruach. I saw that Rav Kook was up, and he was like in some kind of a storm. There was a storm going on inside of him. Haloich v'shuv la'orch ha'cheder, and he was pacing back and forth across the room that he was there when he was they were staying. Nechradati v'sremamti. I was frightened, trembling, and I was. In the Sramamti, there was a feeling of Raimamus, excitement. And then all of a sudden, Rav Kook came to me. He saw me. And he took my hand. His hands were cold as ice. But his face was on fire and shining like torches. And from his mouth there, like exploded, like a flame. And he said, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, you have to translate that. I'm burning with love of God. I'm on fire. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, it was so unbelievably good of him to let us in on this secret. You know, no one would know these things, because Rabbi Yaakov Moshe woke up in the middle of the night. You know, who would know this? That he left us such a thing that. But we have, Bo Hashem, there are, throughout his writings, there are some autobiographical pieces that we have from Rav Kook. There's this amazing Sefer Chadarov. It's a little Sefer Chadarov. I have here in the office, Chadarov, meaning in his room. There are things that Rav Kook spoke about himself that, with the exception of Rabbi Nachman, you cannot don't see such a thing to. That a tzaddik spoke something of his inner self. And even then you could see how it was being held back. But the poems that we have and some of his contemplations that were written, we have also from the P.S.S., not from Eishkai, there's such things. Unbelievable things. So, hu kesev al atzmo. So one of the things that Rav Kook wrote about himself, v'chi reik hu hatzar hagodl, Al she'enani reshoi lahagas es Hashem ba'isi ha'isav. Rav Kook says, do you think it's empty, the pain that I'm feeling, that we're not allowed to pronounce God's, the letters of God's name? In other words, Rav Kook was saying, there's unbelievable pain that I have, that I can't say God's name, the way that it's written. Whatever that means. Plus he's a Kohen, remember that, right? So the Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur, right? Stop in the Beis HaMikdash, the name of Hashem. And Rav Kook says, the pain that I feel not being allowed to say God's name. Gam kasher he nar ki ben shleish esrei, when he was a boy of 13, he would learn Torah straight for 18 hours a day. Adish a rabbi, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, until his rabbi the Nitziv, harlo lahafkis as misbar shows the shleish esrei, where his rabbi instructed him that he should, instead of learning 18 hours, he has to go down to 16. And even when he was Isaac, as it's known, even when Rav Kook was busy involved with Tzorach Yitzibur, with public matters, Lo Pasek Pume Megirse, he was constantly mumbling and saying Torah while he was doing things. Sefer Eretz Tshuva, he was Zorchit to learn, Yeshnam Kama V'Kama Ketoim Autobiographim. There are a number of autobiographical pieces in Eretz Tshuva. Shehu Olav Asholom Kosov Ola Atzmai. That he wrote about himself. Kach l'moshul u'kaisev in Perek Yudal, ki yeshnam tzadikim ke'ela. There are certain tzadikim, shlodai shekshemechasrim rega echad es ashir ha'mole v'achai, lefi erkom mehadveikus alakus al-yoin. There are certain tzadikim that for them, it's unbearable for them and for the world, for a second, for even a second, to be separated from a state of Dveikus Elokus Elyon, from the highest state of Dveikus Dasha. Shnia Achas Lo Dveikus Elokus. A second without Dveikus Basha. Hey Margishim Es Navsham. Rav Kook writes, for the Tzaddik to be a second without Dveikus Basha, these Tzaddikim, I mean, he didn't say about himself, but he spoke about Tzaddikim. Hey Margishim Es Navsham Ba'oimek Tzoras Achet. For the Tzaddik, he feels a second of disconnection to Hashem on his level. He feels like he's ba'oimek tzaras achet, like he's in the depths of a terrible sin. Umisaktim is, there's a word from the Baal Shem like that, umisaktim is mashberam ayde tshuva ilah, and they fix this fissure, this crack, this fault through great tshuva, through great exalted tshuva, because if they're missing Dveikus for a sec. Yes, it was the holy Rupshitz's Yahrzeit, it was Yud Aleph. Yud Beis today, right? Yesterday, you're right, yesterday was the Rupshitz's Yahrzeit. And we know the Rupshitz spoke very, very funny things, he used to talk, and things that would look like, well, only when he was very old, he stopped talking. He would say things that, not just Torah and Tefillah, he would say things, he would talk to people, he'd say a lot of funny things, all kinds of interesting things that we have from the Upshitsu. And when he was older, he stopped talking. And when he was a short time before he died, he stopped talking. And his son came over to him, so people they thought he was sick, that he couldn't talk. And his son came over to him and said to his father, he says, look, I know you could talk. Like, what's this? What's going on? Like, tell me. I know you could talk. Why aren't you talking? So his father told him that miyom shamadti al daiti, that from the time that I could remember thinking, I never spoke a word that wasn't yichud, that wasn't where I wasn't miyachet shemus of Hashem, that I didn't make unifications in what I was saying of God's name. And now I don't have the ability to concentrate like that anymore. So I'm finished speaking. It's everything that he said. There were Shemus and Gematrius and Rishatevis, and everything he said was Dveikus B'Hashem, even though it seemed like he was talking to you about the weather or something, because he was very friendly. There's all the Yechudim and Dveikus, things like that. Are they Tshuva Malaya Adiru G'dayla Ela Shagam Im Ha'odam Molei? So he explains, Ha'odam Molei Dveikus Elokis Ela Shad Dveikus Tiyem Emula Rak Mitzad Echad Mir levad, mihav levad, he margishim is a kvar pagam otzum u piruk shel chibur aseder luki ba'oitzer ba'olam. That the tzaddik, when the tzaddik feels that there's something missing in his dveikus, nahava yira, he already feels there's a tremendous pagam in the seder luki that he's damaging. The seder luki is damaging somehow what's happening in the world. The seder of Hashem in the world. That's how the tzaddik feels when there's a moment without ahava, without yira. Others are called oil mismaite, or any expense, that the world is suffering and falling apart and crumbling. Then Rav Kook says, "V'nafsham ereges," and the souls of the tzaddikim are longing, "Lechaz v'midas atshuv elyon," to always hold on to that midah of the highest tshuva, l'saken es hakilkul, and fix all things that are that need to be repaired. Omnam harav atzmo, Rav Kook himself, Rav Aviner says, Ha'ilamalim madregas, it was even higher than this. Kvisho mamshach v'kaiser, Rav Kook continues and writes over there, v'atzadikim ha'al-yoynim. So until now he's talking about tzadikim. Now he talks about, Rav Kook talks about tzadikim ha'al-yoynim, the highest tzadikim. Milay chesed v'rachim elokim al-kol ha'yisur are filled with compassion and love, godly compassion and love for all that exists. Al kol ha'ilamim v'chol asher b'hem, and all worlds and all that exists in the world. Meroish ad so, from the highest world to the lowest thing in this world. The tzaddikim are filled with godly compassion and love. Eilah ha'nezorim b'gevur v'ne'atorim b'tifarah b'tiferes emes. Those who are armed with great gevura. He's talking about chesed so far, right? He spoke first about chesed, v'rachim chesed, and then he said nezorim b'gevur. Is gevura, b'netarim b'tifara b'tiferes emes. You see, he's going through the spheres, chesed and gevura and tiferes. Hey margishim, those great tzaddikim elyonim. Hey margishim is ishivui hamishkal b'marechas advekas amuzukalke shalem. They feel if there's something imbalanced. It's not enough just to feel the advekas; they could sense in the tiniest little imbalance between the ahava and yira, between love and fear. They could feel any tiniest little trace of some imbalance in their dveikus. So Rav Avner explains, Hey Malema, Havas Hashem, Yus Hashem. Havas Hashem is Avram. Yus Hashem is Yitzchak, right? Those are the two midas of Chesed and Gevur, Yaakov's Tiferes. That's the balance between Ahava and Yira. Hey Malema, Havas Hashem, Yus Hashem. El Shashivu Yamishkal, Enim Aduyak. When there's some sort of an imbalance between love and fear. And then Rav Kook says, V'gamis ha-mizug shel ha-yira im-ahava. This combination, this integration of yira with ahava and love, fear and love. L'yinoises ha-mishkel ha-shav ha-roi lo im chelik echad yachrir yoisim midai al-chavero hem shavim b'tshuva v'oilum adam okam halyan. And if one is taking over the other, they do tshuva, these great tzaddikim do tshuva immediately to bring things back to the place of amokam halyan, there should be balance. Shemisham mishtapchim oitzvus al asher l'shifas hakodesh, and from that tshuva of the tzaddik elyon, there pours out treasures of all kinds of shefa into the world, of great holiness into the world. Umoitzim hamis hamishkalis hakodesh elyonivim kaima, and they put the balance, the holy balance, in its right place. Umisaknim hamis begam hatzliyah shel yerach Yaakov, and by doing this they repair the limp of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu was limping. The limp of Yaakov means when there's a side. Yaakov is Tiferes, right? So there's Chesed is his grandfather Avram. Gevura is his father Yitzhak. And Yaakov is the one who has to balance those perfectly, which is Emes, which is Tiferes. When Yaakov is limping, it means that they're not perfectly balanced. Something is wrong. V'holchem b'meisharim. And the Inyan of Yaakov is to straighten out his walk, that it should be perfectly balanced between the right leg, Chesed, and the left leg, which is Gevurah. Hashem loves us even though we're limping, you understand. Halavai, we should just be, you know, even if we're crawling, He loves us. But it says in the Mishnah, you know, Ketzim Aglof Ne'akala, right? So there's a Shamin Hillel, right? B'Sham Yisila, Ketzim Aglof Ne'akala. So, Kala Novach Suda. So beautiful, Kal is beautiful, Kal beautiful, but it says in the Mishnah, Kal kamoishihi, afilu chigeres. Kal, we say to the Kal, you're beautiful. Kal, you say not to the Kal, you say to, I mean the girls can say to the Kal. The men say to the Chasn, ooh, what a Kal, Kal navachsuda. And the Mishnah says afilu chigeres, even if she's chigeres, chigeres means what? Even if she's limping, she's handicapped. Even if she's limping. You don't say to the, there's a filu chigeres. You say kala, she's a beautiful kala, filu chigeres. The question is how you're allowed to say something that's not true, right? If the kala is not perfect. So that's what the Mishnah of the Gemara is talking about. So Kalas Afilo Chigeres, even if he's limping. So what does that mean for the, you know, there's something obviously much deeper that's going on that gives such an example of Afilo Chigeres. So there's a term in the Tzemach Tzedek, Susi Elena, where he explains this limp of the Kala. Of course, the Kala is alluding to who? The Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, with the Kala. The Chosn is Hashem. The Tzaddik is the one who's being Mesameach, the Chosn, about his Kala, right? The Tzaddik is always saying good things about the Jewish people to the Chosn, that you have a beautiful Kala. That's what the Tzaddik does. The Tzaddik is always saying to Hashem, ah, you have a Kala Nova Chesuda, what a beautiful Kala, the Jewish people, your people are so beautiful. That's what the Tzaddik does. So the Tzaddik says, Afilu Chigeres. So meaning even, the Tzaddik says that even if the Kala is limping. So Tzemach Tzaddik said, limping means when Eliyahu HaNavi was on Har HaKarmel, you remember? That Eliyahu HaNavi came there with the Nevi'im of Baal, right? The whole test that was over there. So the Navi Eliyahu said to the Jewish people, when there was a huge, there was like a stadium or something about Har HaKarmel, they've set up some kind of bleachers, I don't know what was going on there, but the people standing on the mountains, all thousands and thousands of people, and Eliyahu HaNavi screamed out, Ad Mosai Ad Temposchem, what? Al Shnei Asiv. Im LaShem, Luchu Akiv, Im LaBaal, Luchu Akiv. How long are you going back and forth between these two places? Decide, if you're a Jew, then serve God. And if you're an idol worshiper, then go to Baal. And Moshe Atam Paisim Al Shnei Asiv. So Tzemach Tzedek said that the emesis of the Baruch Shalom loves a Jew, even though he has one foot in God and one foot in Baal. That's what he said, even though he's limping. You hear this? Such a verse from Tzemach Tzedek. Afilu Chigeres. We're not all limping? You don't think we're limping? Maybe not by Baal, but I have an interest, and I'm interested in Baal. We also have a limp. One foot is here and one foot is there. One foot is in Torah and Mitzvahs and the other foot is Eves. Whatever. Each person's got his own place. But that's called limping. And the Tzaddik says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzaddik says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Afilu Chigeres, Kala, Kamaishi, your Kala is beautiful. Afilu Chigeres, even if she's limping, even if she's not fully into Yiddishkeit, but like going back and forth. Like a person who has a limp goes sometimes like this and sometimes like that. He's going back and forth. Ad Masai Atam Paisma Shnei HaSeif. The Baruch Hu had Kepedis and Elinovi was so strong with us. He had Kepedis. Elinovi was very strong. So now Elinovi comes to every single bris. He's the Malach HaBris. And Elinovi says about this baby, listen, I know that in the future years, it's not going to be the way that it is now, you know. By the bris, everybody's happy with their baby. That's one of the last times in his life it's going to work out like that. From now on, there are tainus. Even if he's crying, there are tainus. Certainly later on, when he's a teenager, there are all kinds of tainus. So you know, he was sent to be by every bris. So there's that moment of absolute perfection, and it means that the bris is engraved. This is a Jew. Hashem says to Elinovi, Rebellion, a Jew, a Yid is a Yid. Whether he's got both feet into Elikus, or he's limping, or he's got both feet Chalila the other way, is Hashem Elokim for each and every one of them. So that's by the bris, such a thing. That every single one is a Ben Bris, every Jew, man, woman is a Ben Bris, is Gemalt. And that's what the din is. The Gemara says that even a Jew who can't have a bris milah, let's say, because there's a problem with bleeding, right? A baby that can't, God forbid, have a bris. So he's still called what? A nimel. He's gemalt. He's gemalt. He's still called gemalt. He's circumcised. And he can't have physically a bris because he's not able to physically. But he's called a nimel. He's called a Jew that's gemalt. But a goy, even if you give him a bris, he's called an oral. He's uncircumcised. A goy is uncircumcised. Makes the difference how good he is. He's a nice guy. We like him. Kol hakavod. He's an oral. He's uncircumcised. He's not in. He's not in. A Jew limping this, that, he's in. He's gemalt. So Leonovi comes to every bris, such a thing, to say this on a Jew, that every single Jew is a Ben Bris. Every Jew is a Ben Bris. So you see Jews that are not Bechlav, not Shaychas, the Yiddishkeit. They have no Shaychas, the Yiddishkeit. When it comes to the Inyan Bris, Chazal already say, Kamaisa Sholarov, the Jews are careful that we Makayim always, all the years, we Makayim this Mitzvah B'Simcha. Even the angriest secular Jews, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. What's going on so much, maybe there are people like that now. But I think that they might not know how to get a Kosher Bris, they didn't have a doctor, whatever. I think that Jews still want to have that their kids should get a bris. I'm hoping that that's still true. I don't know if that's changed. Some of you have family members that are not religious, or you might know. I mean, I know that the people in my family, cousins that were not religious, they were very, very makbid. That not only should the kid have a bris, my cousins, I have cousins that are not religious, not only did the kid should have a bris, but they called me up that they wanted to have make sure that the moral is a very firm moral. They don't want to have somebody, don't get us a moral that's not religious. What?
Not a doctor.
No, I had to bring him a moil, and they said to me, Mosh, make sure he does everything the right way. Do whatever the right way. So they had a kosher bris with mitzitza bepeh.
The Russian boys, when they were 18 years old before they left Russia, couldn't.
You see in Russia, you see with the Russian Jews. There was unbelievable mesiras nefesh with the Russian Jews. That even though they were so far, what it was them with Yiddishkeit, with Cholzos, they wanted to have an Indian to be part of Am Yisrael. Some of the biggest limuschus that we have on Am Yisrael is this kesh that we have to the bris, to the covenant, that a Jew feels that if I leave that place, then it's finished. That somehow I'm not finished. I'm not part of Am Yisrael. If I leave that place. Of the bris, and therefore, regardless of whether we're a Jew is holding in his Avodas Hashem, we're all part of that bris. So yesterday, my wife showed me last night. There were 10 children that were killed in a flood in Eretz Yisrael. She showed me on the computer. I don't know, it rained like crazy or something. What happened?
Flash floods.
I didn't know. I just came last night. I came back at night, and my wife was crying. She said, "You saw what happened. There were pictures of the kids. There were." I don't know, they were on a teal or something.
Yeah, 9 girls and 1
And they didn't have a chance to run away anywhere. It just started to rain and then they...
It comes down in a minute. A flash flood.
Oh, they were in a wadi.
Yeah.
I saw they were showing pictures of the rain in the street in Yerushalayim also. I think it was Yerushalayim. It looked like Yerushalayim.
Yeah. Old city, new city. Moving said there was 3.
So it said that 10 of these 10 kids were killed.
9 girls and 1 boy.
No place for the water to be absorbed, so it just goes...
Unbelievable. So I was thinking that it's so wonderful that it rained in Eretz Yisrael after Pesach. When do you get a rain in Eretz Yisrael after Pesach? And then there were 10 kids with them. And they're our children. I don't think it was a religious school. But it was, I don't know where they were from. Where was it?
It was last
where? From where?
All over.
Before the army, Mechina. Mechina. And when the Maisa happened with the boys from Merkaz Rav Kook, I told you that my cousin told me that the Satan Rebbe in Williamsburg, that Rebbe Zalman in Williamsburg, that it was Purim. Remember, it was so he said by the Tish, he was very worked up about it. And he was crying. He was very worked up, and he said, "You think those are not our children? Those are Inzer Kinder. Those are our children because they look different from us." As in the kinder, these are our children. That hergish that a person has to have is, that's what it means. Afilu chigeris, kala kamayshihi, to be mlamas chusa, kala kamayshihi, that when we say something bad about a Jew, this is the parasha, parasha kadoshim. L'sisa lov chayt, v'haftu echa kamaycha, is this parasha? You say something bad about a Jew, you should know you're saying to the chosin something bad about the kala, you understand? When you say something bad about Leiselech Rachel Bamechas, this parasha, you say something bad about a Jew, you think you're talking to some other person, you're saying something bad, and it's a little secret between the two of you about this and that. It's a little rechilas, a little lashon hara. You should know that you're saying mams to the chassan something bad about the kala. The chassan doesn't take well to that, because by the chassan the kala is kamayshi, the kala is beautiful, and you see all the faults in the kala. You see the faults. It's not your kala. But the chassan sees the kala, kamayishi is beautiful, kala novach suda. And you're saying something about the Baruch Shalom's Kala. That's what Lashon Hara is. You can stand there. There's such chumras with Lashon Hara and Achilles that you're saying things about the Kala. You're saying something about the Kala. And the Chassan has kpedus when you say something about the Kala. That's not nice. You speak about another Jew, you say good things about another Jew. Afilu chigeres. You say beautiful things about other Jews, not negative things, not bad things you say. To say something good about a Jew. And with this, the tzaddik is fixing the limp of Yaakov Avinu, the injury of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach of Esav, and he was hurt, and he's limping. So that he could walk straight. Ragli umda b'misha b'makelim avarach Hashem, that my feet stood straight, aligned, and among other Jews, blessing Hashem, Dalam Elch says. I stood together straight, my feet were straight, praising Hashem. Eila him ha'yishor meshes soyd Hashem arleim tomid yigal. Tomid yigal. Es yishorim soyda. Hashem, this is what we're talking about this morning, about the Baal Shem Tov, in Kesh Hashem Tov. Ves yishorim soyda. Hashem reveals his secret to those who are yesharim, or balanced. The tzaddikim are yesharim. Hashem iziv hatziyah shal sheifas yikras ma'alosim is malak kol nefesh chakeres hoyd v'chayim. That from the precious sheifas, the longings of the tzaddikim, every Jewish soul is filled with the splendor of life. The effect that the tzaddik has on the entire Bria. Look at 162. Adam shoyis mitzvah achas. Rav Kook was saying that ha'olam mukhra al yedeinu l'schus, that when you and I do a mitzvah, the whole world is brought. The Gemara says the whole world is brought to kaf schus. Is brought to a place of that's better. That's what he writes on top. And through every mitzvah that we do, we're adding or v'yosha, light and yashuas, rotsan v'soyva tu pnimi. So number 162. Adam shoyse mitzvah achas. A person who does one mitzvah is already machriyas adam kula l'kav schus, bringing the whole world over l'kav schus. K'fisha kosev Rambam, the Rambam writes this in the Chashuva. Everybody knows this Rambam. A person should look at himself the entire year. Ki'ilu chetzev zakev v'chetzev chayv. Ki'ilu is half innocent and half guilty. He's limping. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzev zakev chetzev chayv. And the whole world is half-half. Chota chet echad. You should look at things, right, at the 50 yard line. And you make one sin. Then you bring yourself, God forbid, to the other side. And you're tipping the whole world over to the other side. And you're causing damage to the world, to yourself and to the world. Also, mitzvah achas, you do one mitzvah. You tip yourself over to the Siddur Kedusha, to the side of life. And the kol olam kulo lekav schus, the whole world lekav schus. And you bring for that person himself, for the whole world, you bring tshuva v'hatzola. This is one of the inyanim that the Baruch Rebbe had in mind when he sent guys to go put tefillin on other Jews. To be machriya himself and the whole world, l'kav schus, besides all the other inyanim that he had with that cheshbonis that he had with tefillin. All the other cheshbonis that he had with tefillin. To be machriya this person, l'kav schus, somehow, and to be machriya the whole world, l'kav schus. That's the effect that a mitzvah has. So, Mitzvah Shem, next week we're going to begin with Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook, Rav Avinir brings us to help us understand how Rav Kook ties all this together with Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're up to. Shabbos.